Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in his house this afternoon. You can be seated this afternoon. Thank you for standing. Thank you, Pastor Arderi. I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Arderi for this opportunity to pastor here with my wife. You know, it's been a year. It's kind of shocking to believe that. I was up here kind of reminiscing over the last year. Bishop Nickel said something when he installed us. He said, you're going to start to see things differently once you're installed as pastor. And, you know, sometimes you hear preachers talk and you think sometimes they're just saying preacher things to get people's response. And I can be honestly transparent before you. I do see things differently every day. And I will be honest with you right now, this year, I see things more compassionately. As I've gotten older and as I've been in the position for 1 year, I see things with more compassion. Now, you may think, well, you don't sound like it the way you preach, but I do see things with more compassion, and I hope that I can deliver that this afternoon. I do have a couple announcements. I want to say something. I watched a video. You guys think that I don't research things. Well, I've been researching how to make the church grow, and I've watched hours and hours and hours and hours of YouTube videos on things, and yesterday I watched one that said the top 10 ways to scare off new visitors. I said, I got to watch this one. So I watched it. I watched it with my wife, and I could feel. You ever watch something with somebody and you can feel them staring at you because what you're watching applies to you? So I'm watching in my living room, and I could just feel my wife's glances looking at me. She's like, You do that. And I said, I know, I do it. I was guilty of probably 6 of the 10 things that scare people off, new visitors. So I want you to know that when I ask you to do something, I'm trying to do it as well. We're growing together. Now, one of the things that doesn't take any effort, if you plan on going to the banquet in Jefferson, that banquet is Friday, January the 16th, I encourage all of you to go. If you want to go, I have flyers here. Here's the question. Here's the kicker. You've got to RSVP to Natalie, Sister Natalie Smile, by today if you plan to go. Now, when I say that and I see people's faces and they are thinking about going and money may be the issue, I want you to do this. If you want to go at all, I want you to contact Sister Natalie. Get one of these flyers. Her contact information is on here. Contact her directly. Explain to her your situation. If money's the issue, I want you to go. The church will find a way to take care of that burden for you. So if anybody wants one of these, you can get one from me after church. Or if you want one, as a matter of fact, I'll put them right down here on this pew here. If anybody wants one, this gives you all the information. It is a medieval theme. And this morning I was thinking about maybe going as the court jester. But after watching that video, I think I'm... Did you say what I was going to say? I think maybe after watching that video about how I scare off new... I may need to go as the village idiot. So I haven't determined exactly what I'm going to go as, but I am planning on being there. Pastor Arderi mentioned this, and I've put this out in our group text. If you want to be a member of our group text, please let me know. I have set a vision for the church this year. I would like to see us have 520 new first-time visitors in 2026. When I say that, everyone's like, whoo, that's 10 a week. We've been averaging 50 in attendance. If a quarter of us bring one person a week, we'll meet our goal plus some. Here's how easy it is to do. My next announcement is we've been taking donations to start what I'm calling a modesty closet, which will be a free clothing and shoe giveaway that will be set up in our basement. So when people come to church, and a lot of times when people come to church, they say, I don't have anything to wear. We can take them that service down into the basement. We'll have clothes for men, women, boys, and girls, shoes, clothing that's appropriate for them. They can take whatever they want for free. I put that out on social media, and yesterday I've been inundated with people from the Ashtabula community who have heard about what we're doing. They not only are helping, but they are my PR team. They've called their daughters, they've called their cousins, they've called everybody, and I've basically got a full-time job driving around Ashtabula picking up these donations. That's how this works. You talk to somebody at a restaurant, and you just mention the Lord, and you talk about the goodness of Jesus, and I'm telling you, it becomes contagious. So I am encouraging you. I'm also encouraging you this way. For those of you that have read the text, you know this. For those of you that not, you'll hear this for the first time. In this contest to have 520 first-time visitors, each month I will give away a $50 Walmart gift card to the member who brings the most guests. Now listen, they only count as a first-time guest once. We need them to fill out a guest card. After that, they can enter themselves in the contest. And my experience is this. The people that bring the most people to church are new converts. So you've got your work cut out for you. And you can multiply win. So you can bring 10 this month and 10 next month. And you can win the card every month until we stop giving it away. Contact me directly with any questions about the contest and also about the donations that we are taking. Amen? I still do have 3 Christmas for Christ envelopes. If anybody wants them, you can see me for that. But I do want to get into the word rather quickly. You can stay seated. How many of you have ever heard of the fivefold ministry? Anybody want to take a stab at listing the five? All right, I'll read them to you. They are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's found in Ephesians 5. Does anybody know what the scripture says is the purpose of the fivefold ministry? Why we have the fivefold ministry? Go ahead. The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what God, the Bible describes this as the gift that God gave to the church, the fivefold ministry. It's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And their job is to perfect the saints, work the ministry, and edify the body of Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture today, but I'm not going to read it right off the bat. I'm just going to read a couple verses of scripture from Matthew 25. I'm going to start reading at verse 31. If you have your Bibles, you can follow with me. If not, everything that we read will be on the screens in front of you. But I'm going to pick up reading at verse 31. It says this, and this is Jesus speaking, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." Now, I'm going to put a title on this afternoon that right now is not going to make real good sense to you, but I'm hoping that by the time that we finish, this message speaks to you, and it's one that you remember from this day forward. I want to preach to you for a few moments this afternoon on the twofold ministry. The twofold ministry. Now put your Bibles down and pray with me as we ask God's blessing on this. Do you want to pray, Brother Ty? Pray with us as we ask God's blessing on the message this afternoon.
Lord God, that we bless whatever, Lord, bless whatever message he brings today. Anyone that needs to hear it, Lord, that they bless it and receive it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and bless his message, Lord. Amen.
This name. I do want to say one of the 6 or 7 that I was guilty of that scares away first-time guests, I told my wife, I'm not changing it. I'm actually going to do it. So be prepared because it said this, and I'm sure this, when you don't raise your hand, but your face is going to tell on you. One of the number one things they said scares away first-time guests is when you do the awkward go shake somebody's hand that you don't know. All right, listen. I'm going to work on 5 of the 6. That one, we're going to amplify here in Ashtabula. we're going to get out of our shells and we're going to smile and be friendly. Can I get a couple amens? Can I get a couple oh me's from the people that don't want to do that? Come back and hide from us every Sunday. Now, I'm going to read down through this. I don't want to take a lot of time. I mean, I'm going to read a lot of scripture. But I want to talk to you about the twofold ministry. And if you look at the screen, you'll kind of get an idea of what I want to talk to you about today. I put this title on it specifically. What we read in Matthew 25, Jesus is speaking, and this is getting to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. This is near the end. This is getting close to Golgotha and Calvary. And Jesus gives a teaching in the 25th chapter of Matthew that I'm going to read completely down through it. For most Bible readers, this is very familiar. If you're not, you've probably heard some sort of this. Just follow along on the screens with me. I'm going to pick up reading right where I left off at verse 34. It says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" Verse 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Now, this is Jesus' own words. This is Jesus' ministry. Nearing the end of his ministry, he says, if I was hungry and you fed me, you're going to make it in. But if I was hungry and you didn't feed me, you're going into eternal damnation. These are Jesus' own words. And he says, when you did it not to the least of these, you either did it to me or you did it not to me. So the way that we treat other people, Jesus is saying that is paramount, and it's the equivalent of how you treat him himself. Turn with me quickly to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. This is a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Very familiar again to Bible readers. May be unfamiliar to some, but it'll be on the screens and you can follow along. I'm going to read it, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." This is the prophet, the major prophet Isaiah, prophesying about the office of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, when he comes to earth. Now, he's prophesying this many, 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 many years before Jesus is ever even thought of carnally. Jesus is not on this, is hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. and he reads, he prophesies this exact passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 3. Now turn with me very quickly to Luke chapter 4. Again, this will all be on the screens for you. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21 says this. And he came to Nazareth, this is talking about Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or that's biblical for Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now see if this sounds familiar to you. Jesus' first public speaking in the synagogue, this is what he preaches. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the very first message that Jesus preaches, and then one of the very last messages that Jesus preaches, and all throughout his ministry, which was only about 3.5 years, the Lord spoke to certain categories of people. Now, the wording is different in these three instances that we read, so I've kind of narrowed it down and kind of combined them because they're speaking of the same thing in different places, but they say different things. So I'm going to put them into categories that we can understand. He talks about the poor. In some areas, he says the naked, meaning poor that don't have the ability to buy clothing. And he talks about the stranger. Now, I've preached on that in the past. If those of you that haven't heard those messages, I would encourage you to watch them. Stranger means just that. I know in our politically charged world and the way that we get our news and the way that we focus on information, this is difficult to say, but Jesus was basically saying, I was an illegal alien, and you took me in. Blessed quietness. I know sometimes our affiliations with the things that we believe and the way that we vote and the way that we were raised sometimes cause us to have mental tug of war with what the Bible says. Jesus said, I was a stranger, and you took me in. And that word stranger comes from the Greek and Hebrew word that means alien. He also puts one category of the hungry and the thirsty. How many of you here have ever been hungry? I got to be honest. I haven't. I would say the hungriest I've ever been would probably be when I first got into church. I would do total abstinence fasting, where I researched fasting once, and the word fast meant to cover the mouth. So I would eat or drink anything that I could get into my mouth while my mouth was covered, which meant nothing. I didn't drink water, total abstinence of fasting. I didn't take my medicine, nothing. And we would go sometimes for days. Now, I would tell you I was hungry because we would always set a time limit, and it usually ended at 6 o'clock in the evening of whatever day we were ending that fast. And I'm not going to try to be super hyper spiritual and make you think I'm some spiritual super giant, because my wife and I would know we were ending the fast at 6 o'clock, and we would be at Longhorn Steakhouse at 5:45 with our food ordered, hoping that it arose wrote at 6 o'clock. So that at that moment, we could start eating. We would have our drinks there. We would look. We would count it down. And when it would hit 6, it was like a sporting event. The alarm went off, and we started eating. That's probably the closest I've ever been to hunger. Now, there are days when I get hankerings for food. I don't eat all day at work, and I come home, and I'm like, I'm starved to death. I could really go for a pizza, or I could really go for this. But Jesus is talking about the hungry and the thirsty. It's a whole different category. The third category, I broke it down into this. He talks about the brokenhearted. He talks about the mourning. He talks about the bruised. And he talks about the meek. He talks about them a lot in his ministry. The fourth category, he talks about the sick. And then when Jesus speaks in the book of Luke, he talks about the blind. So I linked those two together. And in the fifth category, he talks about those that are captives, those that are bound. And then in one instance, he even actually talks about those that are, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. I want to say something to you, and I want to get going right away. We are moving into 2026 as a church. It's going to be a year of transition. It's going to be a year of change. It's going to be a year of growth. It's going to be a year of a lot of things. And I know sometimes when we start into a new year, people have these types of prayers and these types of thoughts. I want to find out what God's will for me is in this year. I want to find out what God's direction is for me, for our church, personally. Well, I'm here to tell you, you just read it. Jesus starts his ministry talking about the poor and talking about the hungry and talking about the brokenhearted and talking about the sick and talking about those that are bound or in prison. His whole ministry through the 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, he ministers to the poor, to the hungry, to the brokenhearted, to the sick, and to the captive. He ends his ministry just days before he's going to go to Calvary, and he talks about the poor, and he talks about the hungry, and he talks about the brokenhearted, and he talks about the sick, and he talks about the captive or those that are in prison. I want to say something very directly. Too many times in the church, and I'm guilty of this, and if you're guilty with me, just say, oh me, oh God, with me. Too many times in the church, we feel that these types of categories and these people, these individuals that fall into these categories are hindrances to our real ministry. If we could get that taken care of, we could really get to what God wants to do for his church. We could really start to begin to see the supernatural. We could really start to begin to see miracles and signs and wonders and talk about end time prophecy and all of these things. And what God has laid on my heart so strong is we've got to quit looking at these people as a stumbling block to our ministry and realize they are the ministry. They are the very purpose of what this church needs to be about. It doesn't need to be something that gets in our way and delays us and slows us down. It has to be the will and focus of our church to minister to these categories. We're going to do a lot of things in this year that I know some of you right now aren't comfortable with, and I'm hoping by the end of this year you are. But I want you to look at this picture. Now, I'll be honest with you. I created this picture with artificial intelligence. And I know some of you, I preach all the time. I'm so old-fashioned. My two boys, and they're watching. If they're watching, they'll laugh. Everything I tell them is Mark of the Beast. I'm always talking about Mark of the Beast. Every time they use their credit card, I'm like, that's the Mark of the Beast. Every time they order off Amazon, I'm like, that's the Mark of the Beast. Every time they use their debit card, I'm like, that's the Mark of the Beast. That's the Mark of the Beast. And they're like, Dad, everything's not the Mark of the Beast. I'm like, yes, it is. Everything's smart. It's all coming. Cashless society. Blah, blah, blah. I rattle it all off. It's Mark of the Beast. It's Mark of the Beast. Antichrist. 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 He's like, Dad, just because I order pizza doesn't mean it's the Antichrist. So I'm constantly making fun of the Mark of the Beast. And I told him, I said, I used ChatGPT to do a screenshot. My son hit the roof. That's the real Mark of the Beast, Dad. I was like, no, it works. It's good. I'll tell you what I did on that screen. I punched in the title. I punched in my name. I punched in the scripture text. And I said, create an image. And I started listing these categories. And I said, I want that image to be multi-generational. I want it to be multiracial, and I want it to be multi-ethnic. I want different nationalities in the picture. And that image popped up, not this one, the other one from the screen title. And when I went in to adjust it, it came back and said, your picture has violated our community standards for taking pictures of young children. So I hurried up and saved it so that we could use it. Here's the point I want to make. In this year, we are going to do some things that I know are going to make some people uncomfortable. And I think of Jesus' ministry. Jesus one time began to minister. He sat down and he was ministering to those around him. Now, how many of you believe that Jesus is a pretty important gentleman when he walked on the earth? I'm not going to get into a deity Bible study, but Jesus was God in flesh. He was the incarnation of Almighty God. He was Jesus. He was God wrapped in flesh. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we didn't even recognize it. So Jesus is God. He's sitting there ministering, and a bunch of little kids come running. And they start playing right in front of Jesus. They start throwing rocks, kicking. You know how kids play? My kids never did that. Yeah. You need to come to the altar because you are a liar. Every kid that was raised in church that I know is the worst behaved kid ever. I know because I was raised in church. I jumped out of church out of the window one time and ran home from McDonald, Ohio to Niles, Ohio on a Saturday night to go to a football game. And my dad was preaching as the pastor. I took a hellacious beating that night when I got home, but it was worth it because Niles won. All these kids begin to play right at the feet of Jesus. And his disciples, the church people. Are you a church person? All right, stand up. Don't get dizzy. Stand up with me. So the church people, the people that look like me and her, stand up. Be a church person with me. Be a church person with me. I want everyone to get see what a church person, because the camera work? Yeah, she's working it. Get on these church people. His disciples, his leaders, the church people, they start getting, go ahead, you can sit down. Thank you. They get so aggravated. They start yelling. They're looking for the parents. Where are these kids? This is the master. This is the master. Go, get these kids under control. You ever spank anybody else's kids? How many of you church people that have been in church for a while remember when you used to be able to spank other people's kids? Now you can't do that. Used to be a preacher could just grab you and smack you right in church, and then your dad would smack you worse. Don't do that anymore. That's one of the 10 that scares off the new visitors when you smack their children. I'm not guilty of that one. But they get all worked up. And they say, Jesus, tell these kids to get, tell them to get out of here. We're trying to do church stuff. We're trying to grow as a church. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, suffer the children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. He goes on to tell them, except you become as one of them, you can't even go to heaven. Said all that to say this. This year we're going to do some things that are going to make some church people like myself uncomfortable. Everybody thinks that I'm comfortable in doing these things. I'll let you know why I have such a heart for outreach. I'll be transparent for 2 minutes, then we're going to get to the end of my message. I was raised in church. My dad was the pastor of the church. I was a sinner. I was a good sinner. I practiced sin. I drank alcohol. I did illegal drugs. I liked women. I still like women. Just one. You chase a woman until she catches you, and then they get the hooks in, they don't let go. I like to fight. I like to debate. I like to argue. When I came back, the Lord started to begin to deal with me as an adult. I started to come back to the Lord. Every time I walked into the church, I was greeted by the whole church. They knew my name. When I would go to the altar to seek the Holy Ghost, the whole church would come and pray with me. when we came to the church events, when the church had a potluck dinner or a banquet or a gathering, I would walk in and I got to sit where I wanted to sit. All of it because of my last name. If the pastor's son starts to pray, you can get brownie points if you go pray with the pastor's son. But I begin to notice something early on in my ministry. In a church the size of ours, the church people's children were treated differently than the non-member's children. And I said, God, give me a heart for the people that leave the church and no one even knows that they were here. The who's who, everybody already talked to them. God, give me a heart for people that nobody speaks to. And I'll be honest, you think I'm outgoing. I'm not at all. I would much prefer to go sit in my house and watch the Steelers beat the I have to repent before you. I prophesied last week, and God struck me down. I couldn't even enjoy the game because I'm sitting there thinking. I'm like, Brother Dan's probably so happy right now, he wants to call me. I would much rather be by myself. I would much rather just go fishing. Not catching, just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. No work, no responsibility. I don't care, just fall asleep. Some of you deer hunters, I just like to go out in a tree stand, sit there, have to brace myself in because I'd fall out and kill myself. I'd be that guy that every one of you seen the video of. Puts out his lawn chair, got 20 empty beer cans. I don't drink. I'm just using this as the example. Got 20 empty beer cans around him. He's sound asleep with his gun propped up, and there's a 12-point buck sniffing him. I'd much rather do that. But when you ask God for something, he gives you what you ask for. And I said, God, give me a heart to see people. And because of that, I force myself to do things that I don't want to do. Outreach is not my thing. But when you start doing it, when you start getting your hands literally dirty, when you get into it, when you go into drug rehab facilities and you meet an actual person, and you learn their name, and you hear their story, it changes you. So I'm telling you, this message is about to take a complete turn. I'm letting you know before Jump Street, before we get to 10:30 start time, we are going to be active in the community of Ashtabula in ways we never have before, and I am going to come to you and ask you not to give me money, but for you to go with me into these places. Yes, and when we get trained, and we're going to do some training, I'm going to send you to places without me, and I'm talking about jails, and I'm talking about drug rehab facilities, and I'm talking about abortion clinics. We are going to begin to minister to the very categories that Jesus told us to minister to. And I hope you're on my side. If you're not, I'm concerned for you because you're going to struggle here. This will become a place that people can find a home before they find their Lord and Savior. This is His house, and we're going to invite His children back home before everything is hunky-dory between God and His children. You ready? We're about to make a complete about-face. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 25. We've already read this. I'm going to let you see something that maybe you've never seen before.
We're going to specifically go to verse 40. It says this.
This is Jesus speaking. It says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these," say those next two words with me, "my brethren, ye have done it unto me." At verse 45, when he's talking about what they didn't do, he says, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me." He speaks about his brethren in when he says, when you did it unto these. I'm going to get very personal now. I want to get inside of your heart now. I want to speak to the church now. What do we do when the five categories that I listed, which are the poor, the hungry, the brokenhearted, the sick, the captives, what do we do when those five categories are the men and women and the brothers and sisters that we come to church with? What do we do as a church when we walk in and brother so-and-so is brokenhearted? When sister so-and-so, not a stranger on the street, not a person that we've never met, not an individual that we encounter during an outreach event in the community, what about when we walk into church and one of our saved brothers and sisters are dealing with depression? What do we do when people's heart is shattered? What do we do when we know our brothers and sisters are dealing with things that are crushing them emotionally? What do we do when we know they're actually hungry? What do we do when we know they're not physically in prison, but spiritually their mind is held captive by something that's happened to them? What do we do? Jesus said, you make heaven, you make it to life eternal when you minister unto these my brethren. I'm here to burst the bubble of the church. I'm here to tear down the stronghold of fake. I'm here to destroy the mask of secrecy that abides in too many of our churches. We come into church. I'm saying we walk into buildings called sanctuaries. We worship, we sing, we smile, we fellowship, we eat donuts. In 3 weeks, we eat donuts. Is it three or two? 2 weeks. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like there's a cream stick on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, I'm going to be shouting on that day. I'm going to have two or three. We do all of those things. And we sit next to people that are thinking about giving up. You don't have to make eye contact with me. I understand this is deep. Some of us don't sit next to people that are thinking about giving up. Some of us are the people. We cried all night long. We've prayed. We've fasted. We paid our tithes. We were faithful in attendance. And my heart is still shattered. I'm captive spiritually in my mind because I pray and I go to God, and I'm saying me, not specifically, but sometimes when the shoe fits, you got to wear it. What do we do as a church when the sick and the hungry and the poor and the bruised, the hurt isn't some unnamed face in a crowd, but it's somebody that you shook hands with today? What do we do? Well, I'm here to tell you what the vision of this church is going to be. I'm going to read it the way I wrote it. Being brokenhearted, being in mourning, and I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me say this. I want you to look at me when I read this. Being bruised, being spiritually and emotionally captive does not mean that you are unsaved. It does not mean that God is angry with you. It does not mean that God is punishing you. It means you're human. We hold this treasure, and the treasure it's talking about is the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory will be of him and not of us. Let me tell you something. If you're going through something, it is not an indicator that God is punishing you. It's an indicator that you are human. My heart breaks for people in a place that should be a place of safety. It should be a house of deliverance. It should be a sacred place. Many of the writers of the Bible who were more spiritual than all of us combined would write things like this: God, hide me in your pavilion. Hide me when I'm broken. Hide me when I'm hurting. Hide me. King David, who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, said, my foot almost slipped. I almost gave up. I almost quit altogether. I almost just backslid and stopped everything I was doing. I got real close. The days of faking it till you make it need to end today. We, as saints, say that with me, say saints, need to normalize asking for help. As I'm speaking, some of you are thinking about yourself, and you should. And some of you are thinking about a brother and sister that's in attendance today. We need to normalize asking for help. Listen to this. We as saints also need to normalize ministering to one another without judgment. I'm going to say a phrase. It's not scripture, but I'm making it Mike Klein, chapter 1, verse 1. Write this down. This is the first one of the new year. I want you to know, if you walk into this place, that this is one of the tenets of the faith that we believe in. Are you ready? If you come to Ashtabula, it is okay for you not to be okay. This is your home. Whether your heart is full or whether you're thinking about ending your life, it is okay for you not to be okay. Jesus' entire ministry was dedicated for you, and our church's ministry is going to be dedicated for you. And we're not waiting until you quit doing drugs to do it. You don't got to fit our guidelines before we're going to love you. James 5 and 16. I didn't give you this one, did I? I don't think you have it. Don't worry about it. If you can find it, you can. James 5 and 16 basically says this. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. I'm going to burst some bubbles. I'm going to break down some apostolic strongholds of things that we're afraid to say. You can have the Holy Ghost and be depressed. You can be saved and on your way to heaven and deal with crippling anxiety. You can be introverted and still be saved. You're probably not going to do real well here because I'm not giving up making you shake hands with people that you don't know. I'll pray for you. We're going to grow in that together. You can deal with trauma from your life and still be loved by God. You can be battling church hurt and still be saved. And this is what I want this church to understand. If this preaching has gone way over your head and you're like, why is he doing that? It's not registering with me. I'm none of those things. Then I want you to decide today that you are going to be used as God's hands and feet to minister to your brother and sister without judging them. When they come to you and they say, I'm really struggling. I'm really having a hard time. I'm thinking some bad thoughts. I don't want you to tell them to pray harder. I want you to pray harder. I want you to care for them. I want you to love them. When they're sick, I want you to visit them. When they're in prison, I want you to visit them. I'm telling you, God wants to do something in this place different than he's ever done. It's a two-fold ministry. We've got to get comfortable asking for help. And we've got to be even more comfortable providing that help without a condescending attitude. Now, this is a terrible segue to an altar service, because anybody that comes now has to be the one to break the glass ceiling. Because you preach like this and say God can take care of hurt, and God can take care of this, and God's not upset with you, and now I'm going to open the altars, and everybody's going to say, if I walk down the aisle now, everybody knows that's me, and I don't want to be anybody's charity case. I want to ask you something point blank. How long are you willing to fight by yourself? How long are you willing to go home exactly the same way you came again? It's okay to not be okay. That's what the church is for. If you're looking for perfection, I don't want to say it this rudely, but I want to say it directly. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're probably going to want to go somewhere else. You're looking at a man that has flaws, who's married to a woman who has more flaws. Can I get an amen? People literally told me no. They just disobey. If you're looking for perfection, trust me, you'd be better off to leave now. You want to know why? Because I'm going to say something that's going to get up the MIF tree with you. I'm going to make a decision that you're not going to like. I'm going to paint a color that you think is hideous. We're going to change a decoration, and you're going to think that guy is a knucklehead. And if that's what you come to church for, then it'd be better for you that you go ahead and leave now. But if you want to be in a place where the power of God is going to literally change people's lives, Jesus himself said the whole don't need a physician, the sick do. If you want to be a church where we're going to lay hands on people that other churches told to leave, if you want to be part of something where you can come in and you can come into the pastor's office and you can say, Pastor, I'm really struggling with pornography and I'm not going to throw you out, but I'm going to hug you and I'm going to love you and I'm going to pray for you. If you want to be part of that, we want you to be part of that. But I'm going to need to ask you to do something. You've got to get real with God. Why on earth would you fake it till you make it? Because if you do, you're not going to make it. But there's a God who will forgive anything that loves you right now. And there's a church that's going to walk as quickly as we can to follow our leader, to make us be like him. So to take the pressure off, I'm done. I want to ask everybody that would. They can come to the music. I know we do a lot better when we play and sing. And I'll give them a space of time. To take the pressure off everybody, I think everybody under the sound of my voice should make their way to the front. I think everybody should make their way to the front. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to force you. I appreciate your attention. I thank you for your participation. I'm excited about what God's going to do. as a member of a worship team for almost my whole time in church, I'm going to let our worship team know this. In my mind, the reason that we have a worship team and not a song leader like the church used to have is because there's going to be times in our services when our worship leaders need to be in the altar. So I'm going to let you know at any time that you need to pray, you put the microphone down and you go have a talk with Jesus. Anytime that you got to get off the drums or get off the guitar or get off the keys because God's speaking to you, your position with the church is not as important as your position with Almighty God. And when you need to speak to Him because He's moving on you, let the other singers pick up. They don't know the song. Sing a different one. Matter of fact, both of you drop the mics and come down. We don't have to sing anything. I want you to hear this. It's okay for you to not be okay. But it's not God's will for you to die that way. And He's chosen your brothers and sisters to be His hands and feet in this world. We need to get back to loving like Jesus loved. We need to get back to preaching like Jesus preached. We need to get back to living like Jesus lived and realize that His house shall be called a house of prayer. You're welcome here. Stay until you get healed, and if you need to leave and go heal someone else, that's fine. But I want us to come together as one to realize that we all have issues. We all have broken hearts. We all have trauma, and God still loves us all. God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, anybody that would believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is a place where God's going to take care of things. And until He does, we're going to love you, and I hope you love us too. So as they sing, if you need prayer, just raise your hand. If you want to pray with someone, go over and pray. Sometimes the most powerful prayer you can pray over someone is to just hug them. Let them cry on you. Don't worry about your coat needing to be dry cleaned. It's time for some hearts to get real with God today. It's time for us to let God be God. I'm thankful you're along for the ride. 2026 is going to be a powerful year in this church because we're going to embrace the twofold ministry. I love you. Let's pray right now. Thank you.
And we are his portion, he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a passionate kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he.
We thank everyone this afternoon for your attention. We hope that you receive something from the service. We hope that you can get back into your normal schedule, probably starting tomorrow. Don't let this just be a service that you file into the database and just go move on from. God has moved in this place. He's spoken to hearts. Let him minister to you, and let the church minister to you. That's why he created it. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell, the ones that want to destroy you, will not prevail against it. Let's love like Jesus did. I hope that you receive something. I hope you get everything that you want for in this new year. I hope, honestly, that you haven't broken your resolution already. I hope you're still losing weight. I hope you're still getting organized. I hope you're still saving money. Come on, it's literally only the 4th of January. But all joking aside, this is going to be a big year. Let's strengthen our hands for this good work. And then let's just enjoy what God has for us. Amen. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, God, we're thankful for you today, for your presence that is in this house. God, always feel welcome to minister in this place. This is your house, Lord. Let your spirit abide within us, Lord. God, and when needs are brought to you, Lord, there's nothing that is too big. There's nothing that is too hard for you, God. There's nothing that catches you by surprise, Lord, because you know all things. Help us, God, to realize that this is a place where it's okay to not be okay, and it's a place where we can show your love to those that need it. We love you. We appreciate you. Be with us this week. Bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If there's a first-time visitor here, everybody go shake their hands and scare them. Love one another as you leave this place in Jesus' name.